Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
We're in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. And there should be a Bible in the seat in front of you if you'd like to follow along with us. Whoever said being a Christian was going to be easy? Who said that? Well, some of you might say, well, Pastor, the person who was there that introduced me to Christ, they said that God loved me and had a wonderful plan for my life. Well, yeah, that's true. He does love you. He does have a wonderful plan for our lives. But it just may be that wonderful plan that God has for your life isn't so wonderful in this life like you thought. Perhaps it would be better if we kind of told would-be Christians that the call and the promise of Jesus for them is this. You're called to a path of pain. You're called to difficulties and difficult decisions. You're called to suffering. You're called to heartache. You're called to death to self. That we're told that we're to pick up our cross, an instrument of painful death, and to follow Jesus. Jesus told us that if we followed him, we were going to be hated by the world, hated by friends and families and co-workers and neighbors. Jesus told us that when we become a Christian, we enter into the greatest spiritual battle known to mankind, that we have an adversary, the devil. Jesus told us that we're not to live the way that the world lives. We're to live a different life, a way contrary to the way most people are living in the world, a way that would be obedient to his word, one which would require us to do what we may not want to do, to go where we may not want to go, to live in a way that we may not want to live for his glory. And what does he promise in exchange for this? Well, he promises us a new life. He promises us eternal life, doesn't he? He promises us forgiveness of sins. He promises to us heaven. He promises that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And so the call of Christ is really this: come and die. Die to self. Die to that old life. Die to the past ways. Die to the ways of your flesh and to the world. And live a new life. Live a life for Christ. Live a life for the glory of God. Perhaps we should tell people when they come to make a decision for Christ, you're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loves you, and he gave himself for you. So with that understanding now of what it means to accept Christ, how many are ready to sign your name on the dotted line? Let's pray. Father, as we explore this book of Ezekiel, we understand that he has a lot of things to say that are very relevant to our lives and to the church in America today. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. And Lord, that as you challenge us in our service, in our ministry, in our walk, the way we live our life today, Lord, I pray that we might hear your voice very personally, profoundly, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." Now remember, chapter 2 just is a continuum of chapter 1. Remember where he was in chapter 1? He was seeing the glories of heaven. the throne of God, the cherubim angels, the glory of God. There was majesty all around him. He's still there. And he has fallen down prostrate in the presence of God. I like that. Because you know what? When we fall down, God's always there to pick us up. He picks us up. And he calls Ezekiel something. It's kind of a strange title. He says, Son of Man. Son of Man. And this is a title that's given to Ezekiel more than anybody else in the Bible. In fact, he calls Ezekiel Son of Man about 100 times in the book of Ezekiel, depending upon your translation, okay? The only other person in the Bible that's called Son of Man was Daniel, only 2 times. And what's profound, too, about this is that Son of Man, that title, was Jesus' favorite title to take to himself. That's what he referred to himself as, the Son of Man. It means Son of Adam, and Adam means dirt or dust. Son of dust. Why do you think God would call Ezekiel, Son of Man, so many times? Could it be that he wants him to remember that he's but dirt, but dust, and how much he needs to rely on his Spirit to fill him, to infuse him with power? That's what verse 2 says. And the Spirit of the Lord entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. Now, it's very interesting that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, very rare for the Spirit to enter into someone. Yes, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, but to enter into them was very rare indeed. You and I take that for granted because Jesus told us when he leaves, he's going to send another comforter and he's going to dwell within us forever. And so we take for granted that the Holy Spirit lives within us. But before Christ raised from the dead, this was a rare, rare occasion. But he dwells within us so that we can keep the commandments of God. He promises never to leave us, never to forsake us. And the key point, God never expects us to serve him apart from his enabling. So what does that mean? It means that God gives us his Spirit in order to enable us to do whatever he wants us to do. Now, in this message, I'm going to mention a lot of times the idea of serving God, the idea of your ministry. And I want you to understand, every one of us are called to serve God. We're called to be his servants. And what he tells us to do is our ministry. We're all servants of God, and we all have a ministry. We have something that God wants to do uniquely through us. Remember last week we talked about the fact that we're not here by accident. You're here by the divine plan and purpose of God to be here on this earth, here at this time, here in this place. You're living life in this community to serve him. He's got things he wants to do through you and through me right now, today, tomorrow, next week, and the month after, and the months after, and next year if he tarries. We're all called to serve him uniquely right here. And we're going to see that God has to enable us because, as we see in Ezekiel's life, God calls Ezekiel to do some very difficult things, a lot of difficult things. And I believe that Ezekiel is only able to do what God's going to command him to do. And it's some pretty wild and radical stuff, and we'll be learning about those in the weeks to come. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no way. When I read this, because there is no way that I could do that. No way. No way. How does he do it? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same way today for you and I. As we look back in time at Ezekiel's life, and we go, how on earth? Why would God call him to do this? And how on earth does he do that? It's the same for you and I today, because God will call us to do things that are very difficult. He'll tell us to do stuff that we go, whoa, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know what you want me to do. How can I do that, Lord? And we have to do exactly what Ezekiel has to do. We have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? What are some of the things God would call me to do that are that difficult? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'd say that's pretty difficult. Wives, see that you respect your husband and submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I think that's really difficult. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's really difficult. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. Well, there's times when that's really hard. Yeah, God calls us to do things that are very difficult. Hard things at times. Brother was telling me before service this morning that God had called him onto a 14-day bread and water fast. It's difficult. Really difficult. God calls us to do difficult things, but the key point here is that he enables us. It's not God telling us to do something that he doesn't give us the power to do. He tells us to do things, but then he says, you can't do it on your own, but if you rely on me and on my Spirit, I will empower you to do it. And so when God's Spirit or his Word speaks to us, he's not just simply pointing the way. And some people look at the Bible and they go, God, how can you just tell me to do that? He doesn't point the way. He guides us along the path. He carries us sometimes along that way. He's there to walk that path of obedience with us. He doesn't just leave us. He empowers us to do what our flesh cannot do. He gives us his Word. We know that. But he also gives us his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to empower us to do what he wants us to do. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel. Get this, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. And they and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are an impudent and stubborn children, and I am sending you to them. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. They're a rebellious nation, and that is an interesting word in the Hebrew. That word nation is always used referring to Gentile heathen nations. God specifically uses this word. I'm sending you to a rebellious, Gentile, heathen-like nation. He refuses to call them his chosen people, his chosen nation. Why? Because they're rebellious. What are they doing? They're refusing God's right to rule over them. That's what they're doing. They're saying, God, you don't have a right to rule over us. We're going to live the way we want to. That sounds oddly familiar, doesn't it? Perhaps that's one of the greatest problems we have in the American church today, is we have Christians that are telling God, I will not have you rule over me. I'm going to live the way I want to. So-called Christians that call Jesus Lord, but they refuse to live according to his commandments and according to his teaching. And so the key point here is some of the hardest people to reach with the message of Christ, who are they? Church members. Church members, yeah. They think that being a Christian means being nice to someone. Being a Christian means we don't say bad words. Being a Christian means, oh, we go to church on Sundays. Now, those are all good things. There's nothing wrong with that. But those are all external things. Being a Christian means you are radically changed and transformed from the inside out. It means not just the outside of the cup is clean. It means the inside of the cup is completely filled, refreshed, and renewed by the Spirit of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's washed clean. It's not merely cleaning up our outward behavior, but it's being transformed from the inside out. We have too many Christ followers on Sunday. Yeah, you know what I mean. They go to church on Sunday, but secretly they follow the lust of the flesh and the ways of the world once they leave church. We may have someone here today like that. You know, they come to church and they speak one way and they talk one way and they go on about their lives. They're either at school or in their workplace or in their home, and they talk differently. They say things they would never say here, and the things they say here are rarely said there. There's a duplicity here. They come to church and they praise the Lord and they sing worship songs, and then they go home and they turn on the computer at night and they're surfing the internet for pornography. Yeah, there's this duplicity here. They would never think about being dishonest here, but they're dishonest at work. They're all loving and nice when they come to church, but they go home and they're unloving to their spouse and to their family. Yeah, we've got the same problem that Ezekiel had. You see, the fruit of the Spirit isn't given to us so that we can live that way and have love, peace, joy, kindness, meekness, self-control, and gentleness, goodness here at church, but it's given to us to live that way throughout our entire life and the whole of our life. So the church today looks a lot like what Israel did in Ezekiel's day. It has a form of godliness outwardly, but inwardly there's wickedness, sin, and rebelliousness. And we're going to see that in great detail in the chapters to come, because Ezekiel is given these visions of the wickedness of the people of God, even of the leaders and the priests. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. I like that. So God says, look, at the end of your ministry, they're going to all know that you're a prophet. They may not like it, and they may not know it right now, but they will know it because you are speaking my word. And that's kind of what I'd like to have said about me. Yeah, when I go on to be with the Lord, if you're still here, that you, every one of you, would say, Pastor Steve, he spoke the truth. He told us the whole counsel of God's word. He didn't skirt the hard things. He didn't just tell us what we wanted to hear. He didn't just tickle our ears. But he spoke God's word fully and in truth. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give to you. So Ezekiel is going to have a very difficult job. You know, as we look back in the Bible, you can look at some people and think, boy, I wish I could have been there and done that and could have been this person. You know, Joshua. Wouldn't you have liked to have been Joshua, you know? I mean, some of the people in the Bible, you just go, oh, that would be so cool if I could be that person. I don't know anybody that says, oh, I'd love to have been Ezekiel. Ezekiel has one of the hardest jobs, the toughest job in the Bible. And God tells him, your job's going to be really tough. This is going to be really hard. But God tells him, I'm going to make you tough enough for the job. I'm going to toughen you up. We'll see that Ezekiel is faithful to the call of God in his life. He is faithful to fulfill the ministry that God calls him to. Now notice, Ezekiel is the son of man or the son of Adam. And there's a reason for that, because like Adam, he has the Spirit dwell within him. And like Adam, he also faces a test of obedience. Interesting, the test is obedience to food, something to eat. But it's a little different. With Adam, God told Adam, don't eat what looks good and you think you want, that's pleasant to the eyes. Don't eat it. But to Ezekiel, he says, I want you to eat what you would think you won't want at all and you don't want to get near. I want you to eat it. So there's this test of obedience, and it's about appetites. So let's look at this scroll that he's told to eat. Behold, when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. It says a hand stretched out. I wonder whose hand. And inside, lamentations, mourning, and woe. And it was written on the inside and the outside. It means it was filled with writing. They couldn't write anymore. Now, there's only two scrolls in the whole Bible that we see written on the inside and the outside. And it's this scroll that Ezekiel is to eat. That's one of them. The other one is found in the book of Revelation. It has seven seals on it. You might remember it. Revelations 5, 6, 7, 8. And as each one of those seals are broken, judgment, wrath is poured down on the people of the earth during the time of the great tribulation. So this is not a good thing. This is a scroll of judgment. This is a scroll of terror. They're filled with lamentations, mourning, and woe. Why? Because there were false prophets among the people. Remember, Ezekiel is there with the captives there by the river Shebar, and he is with a several thousand captives. They're basically indentured slaves, servants to the Babylonians. They're doing their farm work. They're making their bricks, whatever. They're just slaves. They're doing their slave work. And they're there by the river in the land of Babylon. They're hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem, away from their home. But false prophets were among the people, and they were all telling the people, the city of Jerusalem is still there. The temple has not been destroyed. God is going to bring us back. It's just going to be a little while longer. But we're all going to go back home because we're all basically good people because we're God's people. We're Jews. We're His covenant people. God wouldn't let us stay here for very long. God's going to bring us back. And the problem with those false prophets, because they were telling the people what they wanted to hear, and they were tickling their ears, they weren't telling the people what they needed to hear, and they weren't being challenged to repent of their sins and get before a holy God in weeping and mourning and lamentations. Well, it kind of sounds a little like the American church today. There isn't much preaching from the pulpits of lamentations, mourning, and woe. There's a lot of what makes you feel good, helping you to have a self-image that's real positive, and letting you know that God loves you. And those things are wonderful, but they need to be balanced with other truths. Why? Why is that so important? Because the church in America is deeply involved in a lot of the sins that we see around this country. I just read yesterday a statistic. 20% of all of the abortions are performed on women that claim to be born-again Christians. 20%? There shouldn't be one abortion by a woman claiming to be a born-again. 20%? How are we different, people? We're not, because we're not repenting of our sins and weeping over the sins of our nation. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. That's good advice. Eat and then speak. Eat and then speak. That's what we need to do. We need to eat God's word. We need to receive his word into our lives. Then we'll be able to speak. Because if we don't eat, whatever we speak isn't going to be God's words. It's going to be our own kind of muddle in our own mind. But there are so many people that we come in contact with that need to hear what God would say to them. They need to hear wisdom from God. And if we're not eating, we're not going to have wisdom. We'll have our own wisdom, but I'm talking about the wisdom of God. We need to feed on his word. Now, does that sound strange, kind of eating God's word? Well, in Revelation, the book of Revelation, John is told to eat a scroll as well. And Jeremiah says in 15:16, he says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And in Matthew 4:4, remember, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's our very bread. It's our food, our spiritual food. And there's something else I don't want you to miss. Remember, Ezekiel is, yes, a prophet, but he's also a priest. And remember, he's just finished his 10-year apprenticeship for the priesthood. So he's 30 years old at this time. What I find fascinating is this. There's no temple in Babylon, but Ezekiel would have been ready now to minister as a priest for the children of God in the temple. But he's in Babylon, and God has called him and commissioned him to a ministry. And he tells him to take this scroll of the judgment, lamentations, woes, the sins of the people, and he says to eat it. If he were still in Jerusalem, servicing the people of God in the temple as a priest, when they came with their offerings for sin and for guilt, the priest would eat a portion of that offering. And symbolically representing that your guilt is absolved. And so it's kind of a fascinating parallel that we find here, that God is causing Ezekiel to eat this scroll. Now, Ezekiel's told to eat it, and it says, and I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll, and he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Isn't that odd? It's full of lamentations, mourning, and woe. What would you have expected? Sweet or bitter? You know, sweet or sour? I would have expected, that's going to give me a stomach ache. I'm not going to want that at all. But it's sweet like honey. And it doesn't make sense to me, maybe not to you either. And it's interesting because it doesn't make sense to me how we can read things in the Bible that are bitter. And so we read sections in the Bible where it talks about judgment, or we read parts in the Bible where it talks about genealogies, or we read difficult and hard things in the Bible. And yet, amazingly, when I read them and I feed on God's word, even if I'm reading parts that in my mind are lamentations, mourning and woe, they're sweet to my spirit, and he feeds my spirit because there's spirit in their life, and God gives me strength and encourages me through eating his word, through feasting on his word. He blesses me. And he says, and he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language. You're not sent to the heathen, to the foreigners, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of a hard language whose words you cannot understand. You're not going to have to learn their language and translate the Bible in their language. No, I'm sending you to my people. Surely, had I sent you to them, he says, they would have listened to you. And it's often true today, often that sometimes it's like the heathen that want to know things about God more than the people of God, so-called Christians. You'd think they'd want to fellowship and talk about God, but they don't. And sometimes people that don't even know God want to talk about God and learn about God more than those that do. And it's kind of puzzling. And that's where the people of God, the children of Israel, were in Ezekiel's day. But the house of Israel, he says, will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. What does this tell us about the ministry of evangelism? You know, especially sharing our faith. You know, when you think about it, we are called to share our faith, to be evangelists, to spread the good word, right? What does that tell us about evangelism? Well, the key point here is that the primary goal of evangelism is faithfulness to God's call, not fruitfulness in numerical terms. And oftentimes, we seem to think if we go out and we share with someone, we tell someone about Christ, and they don't respond, somehow we've failed. No, not at all. In fact, God tells Ezekiel, guess what? Your ministry that I'm calling you to is going to be a failure. They're not going to respond. You're not going to have any souls saved, so to speak. You're not going to be popular. They're not going to even like you. Well, why would he call him to speak to people that don't want to know? Because God has called Ezekiel to be faithful, not necessarily to be fruitful. The fruit is God's result. We're called to bring glory to God and leave the results to him. And it's the same thing with missions. Missions, the primary goal of missions is not to reach everyone for Christ. The primary goal of missions is to glorify God by sharing the gospel. Whether we reach everyone or not, we want to glorify God. We leave the results to him. So should we still speak to those that don't want to hear? They say, look, just get away. Stop telling me that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want you to tell me. Should we keep telling them? Yeah. We're still to be faithful to share the message. We're still to be faithful to communicate the truth. Being faithful. That's what we're supposed to do. Whether they refuse to repent or they listen to us isn't our responsibility. God fills us with his spirit to help to fulfill the command that he gives to us. And then he says, look at this in verse 8. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. So God makes Ezekiel's head hard for the ministry he gives him. But God made Jeremiah's heart soft for the ministry he gave him. So Jeremiah's over in Jerusalem right now. He's prophesying to the people there, and he's the weeping prophet. He's got a broken heart. That's what God gave him for his ministry. But over here with the captives in Babylon, same time, God says, I'm going to give you a hard head. They have a head like concrete. I'm going to give you a head of steel because they are so hard. You've got to break through it. You're going to have really a hard head. We're going to have to toughen you up. Ezekiel, he's soft-hearted. I'm sorry, Jeremiah is soft-hearted. And Jeremiah, we're told, at one point, he wants to resign. He says, look, this is too much for me, God. I can't do this. Ezekiel, although he's given a harder ministry in my mind, he never talks about resigning. Why? Because God has made him firm. His head is hard. His mind is fixed upon the word of God and the ministry and the mission that God's called him to. Look at verse 9. Like an adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor dismayed at their looks, though they are, what, a rebellious house. So God said to Ezekiel, the forehead of the children of Israel is hard, but your forehead is going to be harder still. I'm going to make you even harder. And the key point here is God always equips us for the ministry he calls us to do. He equips us. Has God told you to do something? Has God spoken to your heart and to you in your life, and you've sensed that he wants you to do something? You can believe that he will equip you. Now, I didn't say that's going to be your natural gifting, because if God called you to do what was natural, I wouldn't be up here speaking, because this is not my natural gifting. I've got a lot of other things I'm a lot better at. But if God calls you to do something, you step out and do it, and he will equip you to do it. He'll be there to help you. It's kind of like Peter when Jesus said, okay, come. He called him to walk on the water. It's like, I can't do that. Well, you have to start stepping out. You have to get out of the boat. And God will be there to help you and to equip you and help you to walk, help you to do what he's called you to do. So we might not feel like we have what it takes. We might feel completely overwhelmed by what God is saying you're supposed to be doing. It's like, Lord, how can I do that? This is way too much. I can't do this, Lord. You're telling me to do what? No way. That's impossible. Well, let's go back to that key point. What does it say? God will always equip us for the ministry he calls us to do. And you know what? It says God is going to make Ezekiel's head strong. Does anybody remember what Ezekiel's name means? We talked about it on the first message of the series, three messages ago. Ezekiel means what? God strengthens. God strengthens. And he says, I'm going to make you strong. Yeah, because God strengthens. So is God giving you a hard head? Is that like something you have? Is God giving you that head that's just like a bulldozer? Then use it for the glory of God. Has God given you a soft heart? You just have that tender heart. You weep with those that weep. You mourn with those that mourn. You've got that tender heart. Then use that tender heart for the glory of God. Whatever God's equipped you with, use it for the glory of God. Amen? And moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all of my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. So we are people of the book. You and I, we're people of the book. We receive God's word into our heart and our mind, and that's what we're going to give out. That's what our calling is, to be people of the book. When you come here on Sunday morning, let's talk about this morning. You got out of bed, you got in your car, you got dressed, you got ready to go, you're here, you're coming. Why? Did you come here to have God speak to you? Did you come here expecting God to say something personal to you? Or did you come here to get some good information, maybe? To see some friends, to worship a little bit? I hope you get some good information from sermons here, but you know what? All it is just another sermon if God isn't speaking to you. We need to come expecting to hear personally from God. Don't you want to hear God speak to you personally about your life? Who cares about information about Ezekiel? That's just like the vehicle. The destination is when God takes it and makes it alive and real to you. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear God speaking. Now remember, God promises he's going to equip Ezekiel for the mission he's called him to. And I'm not so sure that Ezekiel wanted this ministry. I don't think when he heard God say, this is your call, I'm sending you to the rebellious house and they're not going to hear a word you say. I'm not sure Ezekiel said, yay. I'm sure he's thinking, wait a minute, what happened? Aren't there any other ministries here? Can I pick another straw, you know, out of this packet here? But God's Spirit will literally pick him up and put him where he wants him to be. And remember, he's still before the throne of God. He hasn't left. Ezekiel's still there before the throne of God. Let's go back here. And then the Spirit lifts him up. I think it's because he was like not really wanting to leave right now. And he heard a voice behind me with great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from this place. And Also, I heard the noise of wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then I came to the captives at Tel Abib, and who dwelt by the river Shebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. He was totally overwhelmed by what he had seen, what he had heard, and the call and the ministry, the mission that God had told him to do. Just overwhelmed. And so Ezekiel just sits in silence for 7 days. Imagine what was happening inside of him. Horror, amazement, awe, wonder, bewilderment. Just sits there in silence. And why 7 days? You know, Job sat in silence for 7 days too. When we read the book of Leviticus, we find out that when a priest was consecrated for the priesthood, which would be Ezekiel's place had he been back in the temple, when he's consecrated for the ministry of the priesthood, he was to come away and be separate for 7 days. So this is Ezekiel's consecration. Now, did Ezekiel really feel like he wanted to do this ministry for God? Did he get up in the morning going, yes, I got the greatest ministry? You know, sometimes I think he did. Sometimes he probably did get up and say, yes, I get to serve God. But I don't think every day he did. I think some days he was thinking, oh man, Lord, I don't want to get out of bed. And the Lord said, okay, you don't have to. You can stay in bed. He gets to stay in bed a lot with his ministry. We'll see about that. You know, the Apostle Paul told young Timothy this in 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And you know, there's times when you're going to enjoy what God wants you to do. Whatever God's spoken to your heart, if he called you to a ministry, he's called you to serve him that day. And there's times where, you know, sometimes it's like a joy and it's wonderful. And you're just going, things are going so well. Everybody's doing well. The ministry is really working. And Lord, serving you is so fun. Glory, hallelujah. And there's other times when you go, Lord, I don't want to serve you. I don't want to do this anymore. This is really hard. This is difficult. People aren't responding like they should. Things aren't going well like they used to go. And you want to give up. There's times when you just don't want to pray for someone. You know someone needs prayer. God's kind of tugging on your heart after service. But you want to go visit with friends, or you just want to go. You've got other things to do, and you just think, you know what? Lord, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to pray with that person. Or, you know, there's times when you got to stay up late because you got to prepare. Maybe you're in Sunday school and you got to work on your lesson for Sunday school. And then you come the next day and the class is like full of these monsters. You've never met these kids before. And then other weeks, they're like the greatest little angels. You just go, oh, this is so great. I love teaching. And in other weeks, it's like, ah, this is terrible. Or other times when you know you've been out late and all of a sudden it's 11 o'clock and it dawns on you. You're in charge of bringing snacks the next day for all these hungry people after service. It's 11 o'clock. You want to go to sleep. Oh, Lord, ministry is not fun today. You know, it's the last thing you want to do. And even for people like Thomas Suzette, they teach Bible studies every week. And there's times when they're ready, they're loving it. And there's other times when they're like, I wish I could just stay home tonight and relax. You know, that's the way it is serving God. And that's why we need his Spirit to equip us. That's why we need him to help us, because it's not always easy. And it wasn't easy for Ezekiel. And it doesn't matter what we feel. We're called like Ezekiel. Every one of us are called. We all have a ministry We all are called to be servants. We're called to love people consistently, not just when we feel like it, not when just when they're nice. We're called to serve people faithfully, not just when we want to, not just when it's convenient. We're called to pray for people without ceasing. We're called to do the work of the ministry. And sometimes it's work. But we're never called to serve God or do anything apart from His enabling and His empowering. We're not to be weary of doing well. We're not to be afraid of serving God, because He's going to strengthen us. He's going to equip us for what He calls us to do. Amen? So we're going to find our help like Ezekiel did, in the power, the strengthening, and the quickening, equipping of the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Oh, Father, we are called to be Your servants. And You have called us to live a life of obedience to You. Lord, You've told us that our life is not our own. And you know what? God is calling some people here today to do some things that are really hard. And you know, He's spoken to you. You know what He wants you to do. And it's hard. It's against your nature. It's against what your flesh wants. But you know that He's spoken to you and He's told you, this is what I want you to do. And if that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand. Say, God, I know. You're raising it to God. You're not raising it to me. God, I know. I recognize You're calling me to do this. And Lord, I got to tell you, this is really hard for me. Lord, I ask that You would equip, that You would strengthen, that You would make the forehead of those that have their hands up right now, Lord, make it strong. Lord, that You would fix their mind and fix their heart on being obedient to You and doing what You have placed in their heart, which You have spoken to them and shown them that You want them to do. Lord, give us the strength. Make a way. Show us and teach us that we might be obedient to You in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.